Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to be here with you for hour number two on a Wednesday. Great stuff with Shrey Slotta there. Make sure you go follow that. If you didn't, if you missed any of it, go back on the Odyssey app and listen to it. All right, Tommy, we got an email in from Kevin here that you've got. Great listener, great friend of the program. Kevin Hager's got some thoughts on K-State. I'll let you get us that here, and then we'll continue that discussion we had before we switch gears there now, number one.
Yeah, so Kevin reached out to us via email this morning. He says, negativity and trolling on social media never makes things better. Going after players, paid or not, will not change anything for the better. It probably does just the opposite. Why would a good player want to stay if they see how players are treated? Why would a good recruit want to come here if they know they are going to get hammered if they don't meet expectations? Why would a donor want to give money if they know fans will turn on the brand if things don't go well? Again, negativity and trolling on social media never makes things better.
Can I answer that? Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Here's the answer to that. Is that they're in a university in the country that won't have trolls. You don't play well, you know, you're going to catch some flack. You're going to catch some heat. You look at, let's use University of Kentucky. That's been traditionally one of the top three or four programs in America. Everybody has high expectations. Low expectations have never been a part of the University of Kentucky. And when you look at that school, you don't play well. You're not going to get any credit. In fact, it's just the opposite. You're going to be punished, and you're going to be talked about, and you're going to be ostracized. But that's the way it is. You'll not find a school that doesn't have people with telephones, the ability to troll. It's a part of life. Get over it. Figure it out. You know, I mean, just figure this out, because you're going to have problems wherever you go if you don't play well. Now, guess how you solve that problem, Tommy? Would you like to know? You play well.
Play well.
You win. Then all of a sudden, there is no problems. But right now, people look at these kids and they think to themselves, and it's even worse now. If you're going to make $2 million like the kid at K-State, if you're going to make $2 million, there are expectations. I have higher expectations than some kid getting, you know, 50 grand. I have more expectations. $2 million is a lot of money. Most people will work their entire life, if they're lucky, make $1 million or two, whatever that number is. So it's going to be wherever you go, Tommy. So
we're focused on the wrong thing here.
We're focused on
the wrong thing.
What is that?
And I agree with you, Paul. How do you think Alabama players took it when they lost to Vanderbilt this year?
Oh,
right? How do you think
gosh.
That experience was? Alabama's not. And full disclosure here, Kevin is in higher education. So yeah, I get it. I don't want to see players trolled either. But the reality is, we're talking about two different things.
How about that? Ohio State, you want to talk about Alabama. Ohio State is one of the best football programs in America. And their players and their coach, I mean, they get beat up all the time because they can't beat Michigan. And they can play for a national championship this year, but they didn't beat Michigan. Like, it's not even just the bad programs. It's even the programs at the very top of the mountain that are hearing this too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Kentucky fans, to your point, Paul, Kentucky fans just ran off John Calipari, Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah. That's right. Ran him off.
In the mix every year. So look, but that's not, again, here's where we're missing the point, and here's where the biggest swing and miss came from Jerome Tang last night. If you're going to try and isolate the real knuckleheads out there that are going to directly find a way to reach a player and say something completely idiotic, like break your leg, like, again, teach your players to ignore those jerk offs, right? Like those people mean nothing. They're irrelevant. We deal with them every day. Like who cares? Don't give them the time of day. But to get up after a game in which again you lost to an opponent you should not have lost to, and lecture a fan base and fans more generally for criticizing players, and then implying that these players feel more pressure because, like, that is the total wrong message to send. Because now you're enabling excuse making for your players. You can't do that. The message shouldn't be to go up in the post game and lecture fans. The message should be to go in that locker room and lecture your players for letting any fans ever get inside.
The message
head.
Should also be that in the first half, I checked the score at one point, it was 25-8. Drake was winning. Right? Like that was, and of course, Kansas State had to come back in the second half, forced it to overtime, blah, blah, blah. That's all true, all well and good. That's the message. We got out of the gate poorly. We could not score for the first 15 minutes of the game. Like that, like that's the message. It's not about, well, Coleman Hawkins had a message from somebody that said he should break his leg. Like that's not the message. That's not what you want to hear from the guy running your program. No. You know, it's not. And then on top of it too, and I know you brought this up, Jacob, in the first hour. Jerome Tang generally categorized Kansas State fans who are critical and lumped them together with the trolls. That's the wrong play also, because I promise you one thing. There's a good portion, if not all of that NIL money that went to Coleman Hawkins, where the fan base is footing the bill, right? Like that's the way NIL works. The fan base is paying for that $2 million for Coleman Hawkins to play at K-State. So they absolutely, collectively speaking, should have a voice and be able to air their concerns, whether it's in private conversation with other fans, on social media, whatever. Like the fan base in this world of college athletics has earned the right to voice their opinion however they would like to, because that's the way NIL works. The fan base is footing the bill for these players to play and get paid to do it.
The reality is they have not looked good since they had two really good players a couple years ago. They did not look good last year. They have not looked good this year. And to ever make it about anything but the shortcomings on the court, I want you, Liz. Okay, so and forgive us if this audio is a little janky, but we also have some Paul Mills audio from a disappointing loss for the Shockers. And let's sort of compare them a little bit, because the tone here, very different than what we're talking about with the Jerome Tang postgame comments. So here's Paul Mills after the Shockers' wildly disappointing loss last night.
I thought Corey gave us everything he has. As I told the guys there in the locker room, that wasn't because Corey wasn't trying. You know, he's a plus two, able to foul out. You look at his 7 rebounds, 6 of them offensive. Quincy was great. Xavier was great. We just needed defensive contributions from more than those guys and their effort. Unfortunately, you know, I didn't think the energy was what it needed to be until about the 14-minute mark, and that's got to get corrected because this is not the standard at which we need to play. And I honestly feel bad for Shocker fans that having to watch the first 25 minutes of that basketball game, because that is not the standard around here. We'll address it. We'll get better.
So you've got one coach after the game, I don't want to say blaming fans, but lecturing fans, and one coach apologizing to fans. And the message should always be to apologize to fans for a subpar performance. There are no, I'll put it as sweetly, and I mean this endearingly, there are no nastier fans that I've been around than Shocker fans. Shocker fans are mean, right? That's a part of what makes them Shocker fans. If you don't think the Shockers coaches and players are hearing it, especially from the wild and crazy ones, but just in general, like two very different tones, both disappointing games, no question, Tommy. But as we sit here today and our job is to talk about these disappointing losses, you have two very different vibes being put out there. One is taking all the blame and responsibility, and one is doing anything possible to put it somewhere else. And that is wildly telling to me about why what's happening with K-State is more concerning, because it just, it feels like there doesn't, and look, maybe this is a galvanizing moment, and maybe that's what Tang's trying to do. He is a very intuitive person, and maybe he's using this to motivate his players. And if it works, awesome, right? Coleman Hawkins is saying it's us versus the world. Maybe this is intentional messaging from Tang. And again, if that works, I'm willing to be like, yeah, sure, great job. Like, that was very smart. But it doesn't feel that way right now, and we'll see. Wichita State, though, it's like, that is an embarrassment. We can't do that. And that's the first time, though, I will say that we've heard that about the Shockers this year. The first time. There has never been any question or commentary about the chemistry or the effort of that particular team. It's not been that. And so the first time we see it, there's immediate action from the head coach after the game to try and get out ahead of it. It's just very interesting takes after the game and how different they are.
Well, and it works out nicely that both of these teams played last night, so we can compare and contrast the messaging from both head coaches.
Hell yeah.
And the fact that they play on Saturday against each other in Wichita, so, and the fact that they know each other and are friends and have known each other for a long time. Like, all of these things have kind of, it's not ideal that they both lost yesterday, but everything has come together in a way to really make this a fascinating discussion. I think what Paul Mills did last night after the game, and we all know, and I said it in the last hour, the worst loss by far in the Paul Mills era, and disappointing, and all the different adjectives that you want to use to describe that loss. But what Paul Mills did last night at the podium, he did two things. Number one, he apologized. Number two, he said he would address it and that it would not, he would fix it. And I texted you last night. I said, feeling bad for the fan base is fine. It's good. I'm glad that he said that. But what's even better is fixing it. And, you know, we'll see how he moves forward with this. But I think he approached that the right way. It also shows to me that Paul Mills has thick skin, because he's able to come out ahead of it and just say, I'm embarrassed. I feel bad, you know, for the program. He knows that he is going to get beat up, you know, by, on the message boards and the fans and social media and all of that. He knows that, but he gets out in front of it and apologizes for it. On the flip side, what I saw last night from Jerome Tang is that he's got thin skin right now. And again, maybe it's intentional. Maybe it's something that will galvanize the team. But to me, it, comparing and contrasting both of those messages, and they made those comments within an hour of each other, shows one coach that's got pretty thin skin and one coach that's got pretty thick skin.
Two life lessons, Jacob. Are you ready for this, Tommy?
Yeah, sure.
You want to take notes? You want to write this down? Here's two life lessons. Handled by two different basketball coaches all on the same day. The first life lesson is, what did Mills do? He identified the problem. And Tommy, what is the first step in solving a problem?
Admitting that you have a problem.
At finding it, identify it, admit you got it, and then you go and solve the problem. That's a great life lesson. Mm-hmm. And it was, Coach Mills was right there with it. The other life lesson is, you know, we're now in a world where trolling is everything. You can't turn around and spit on the sidewalk without being trolled by somebody and that being videoed and then put online. You can't do anything. So here's the other life lesson. Take trolls and let the fire burn. Let it sink. And go ahead. Accept it. Be okay with it. Nothing's going to change. In fact, here's just the opposite. If you succumb and you complain about trolling, guess what will happen? Do you think Do you think Coach Tang put a fire, doused the fire of trolling? He didn't. So all I'm
saying
is,
and it attracted attention to the point to where now we're all talking about it today.
That's right. And by the way, we get trolled. We get people sometimes text in and say, well, we don't like Savage. We don't like Cash. You guys are not talking about the topics. And we hear all that. You know what we do? We says, well, you may not like what we do, but thank you for listening.
I don't know, Paul. People like me a lot. So I don't get that.
It's just me.
And then there's the negative life lesson of excuse making and enabling.
Right.
Right. Like you cannot
deflecting.
You cannot make excuses.
Right. Boy, that's a no-no.
And by the way, Coleman Hawkins, here's the problem. Coleman Hawkins played great last night. Right. He stuffed a stat sheet like he should have been stuffing.
He did miss some clutch free throws down the stretch.
Right. But holistically, I'm saying, like, you'll take That's the kind of game that they're paying for, right? So now what have you done? You've set him up by doing this. And again, maybe it works because his comments after the game where it's us versus everybody, fine. Whatever motivates him. But you can't come out and make excuses for guys.
And
not 23-year-olds.
Let's face it. The vibes for both teams today are not good. They're not good for either team, right? The vibes are not good after what happened last night for both K-State and Wichita State in advance of their matchup at Coke Arena on Saturday. However, you've got Paul Mills that I think is taking responsibility and being able to say, yeah, things did not go our way last night, but it is my job and my mission to turn that around, and that's what I'm going to do. And then on the flip side, you have Jerome Tang talking about 30 for 30s. You know what I mean? Like, so the vibes are down in both places. And even though the Wichita State loss because of the opponent was more disappointing last night than Kansas State losing to Drake, I actually feel more optimistic in what Paul Mills can do to turn around Wichita State than what Jerome Tang can do to turn around Kansas State.
Nah. It's this weird dynamic. I've thought about this a lot in the last 12 hours. I was not surprised that K-State lost to Drake. I was stunned that Wichita State lost to UMKC.
Oh, sure.
Which of those is worse, right?
Yeah, no question.
Because the problem is our expectations for K-State are coming way down. And they're coming down further with excuse-making for sure. Not excuse-making, but whatever you want to call that. Mm-hmm. Wichita State were stunned because we have higher expectations. Now, I'm not comparing one team to the other to say which one is better. I'm just saying, like, it's not good that we weren't surprised Drake beat K-State last night. Okay? I'm floored. I still cannot believe Wichita State lost to UMKC at home. I cannot believe it.
Yeah, not by 10
even.
And
that's probably okay as long as they bounce back. Yeah. Now, the ramifications of the loss, they'll never get over. They'll never get over that loss as far as their resume. Now, that really damages what they might be able to do this season. The damage from K-State's loss is far less significant because they get to play in the Big 12.
But think about this. Kansas State now is assured to end non-conference play without any quality wins. Like none. You go through their resume, no quality. Even if they win on Saturday because of the Wichita State loss last night to UMKC, you think if Kansas State beats Wichita State on Saturday, that's a quality win for the Wildcats? It's not. It will not be as far as
it will be their most quality.
Wins and their resume, because we know the Big 12 is a juggernaut. I would imagine if Kansas State has any hope of making it to the NCAA tournament, the committee is going to have a really hard time finding quality wins in non-conference play for the Wildcats.
I'm going to say the quiet part out loud of something that I've at least been observing. Right now, if we look at the Big 12, Kansas is not as good as we thought. I think we can all agree on that, at least not at this moment, right? And Trey has talked about this. They don't look like the best team in the country, but far from it. You've got Iowa State up there, okay? You've got Kansas. You got Houston at 15, who's been probably disappointing thus far. I think that's fair. Cincinnati's in there. That's it, fellas, right now in the top 25. The Big 12 is not right now as good as we thought it would be.
Yeah,
it is not playing through the non-conference. And so this probably isn't the year where 8 or 10 Big 12 teams are going to the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Yeah, we were wrong on that because, I mean, you know, you look at the SEC,
whether we're right or wrong,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, they haven't played through the non-con at the level we thought they would, which is not crazy or surprising. Every team turns over so much roster. It's just not what we thought it was. So that lessens the likelihood that K-State, it's just like, well, we just need to finish in the top 8 of the Big 12. That I don't know that that's going to be what happens this year. It'll be what happens a lot of years, but it's not looking like it's going to be this year that happens. And that's another problem.
Can I ask you guys a quick question before we go to break? One quick question. This is a game, the 21st on Saturday against K-State, Wichita State, Charles Koch Arena. I want to ask you guys a question. Give me an estimate. Place seats 10-5. How many fans will be in? What will they announce? I'm just curious. What will the number of people be in Coke Arena?
Last night certainly didn't help the walk-up traffic, but I did also see yesterday somewhere that tickets were listed at like $80. I bet it'll be close to a sellout because you're giving a lot of Wichita K-State fans the chance to see K-State probably the only time this year. So, you know, these plans have been made. This date has been circled. Two wins last night probably would have helped the walk-up traffic, I think, Tommy, but I'll bet you this is a big-time crowd on Saturday.
Yeah. And the other thing I wonder, too, and there's a big-time Kansas State contingent in Wichita, as we know, and in this area.
That's right.
People are going to travel. Like, I think it will be still a good matchup overall, but you know, I think, you know, for both programs, things are in really, really precarious situation for both teams. And that's what makes this matchup on Saturday so intriguing. And I asked Paul this question last hour off the air, and it might be something that, you know, is worth discussing. Is the goodwill for Jerome Tang running low? Is it running out?
Yes. You know, absolutely. And like,
because the, you know, I've always liked Jerome Tang for some of the words that he uses and the way that
I love his energy.
I think I said the words last hour about pontificating. Last night was pontificating, but I just like his philosophy on a lot of things. But I'm realizing the responses to that from the fan base. It's changed. It's changed a lot. Like, he made a comment. This was before the game yesterday. He was talking about how things had been tough for Kansas State. His words were, K-State in general, we're not quitters. Our farmers, when it doesn't rain, don't give up on the crops. And I'm like, that used to be, like, I would hear that, and I'm like, way to go, Jerome Tang. Like, way to relate to your fan base. Now I'm like, just stop. Just go and win a basketball game. You know what I mean?
All anybody wants, and I like all those things too, and I appreciate the standards he has as a human being and all of these things. It doesn't matter as much if you can't figure out how to run an offense.
Right.
And so that's, you know, that's just the reality of the situation. Like it or not, that's the reality of it. Like, there have been a lot of great coaches who we've liked a great deal who have not been successful. It's just not going to work. And so, yeah, we'll ask Fitz this tomorrow. Is that wearing out? You better believe it's wearing out. And it is not going to go, like, there's not a long runway here, I don't think. If things continue to go this poorly, because on the track they're on right now, they won't win any Big 12 games. And that, of course, that's not going to happen, but they've beaten teams that are really bad and they've lost to teams that are even remotely good. That's where we've been this year. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more Sports Daily. Guys, we're an hour and 20. You want to know how much that post game audio ruffled feathers one way or the other? We're an hour and 23 minutes into this show, and we haven't talked Chiefs and an ankle injury update, which we have substantive updates. We'll do that next on Sports Daily. You want to win some HGO? You can do that right now. Sweet or unsweet iced tea available. We'll give you one of those. We'll give you a free iced or hot coffee drink. You can win one of each by entering the text contest right now. All you got to do is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357, TEA 20357. Maybe you want to try a peppermint mocha iced or hot. Those will not be around forever and time is running out. Get in there and check it out with one of your free coupons. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. All right. We get significant news, quite frankly, on Patrick Mahomes yesterday. We saw the Chiefs as underdogs against the Texans. The initial chatter was a high ankle sprain. And then yesterday we hear from Dan Israel early in the day when we talked to him for his weekly visit that it's a mid ankle sprain. And that did perk my ears up a little bit. Like, okay, mid ankle sprain. And then we hear from Mahomes after practice, we see him as a full participant in practice, basically saying, unless he thinks he hurts the team's chances of winning, he's going to play. Tommy, Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I think the great news in all of this is the injury does not appear to be as severe as it was feared. If it's not a high ankle sprain, as bad as it looked when it happened, then this probably isn't in reality that big a deal. Mahomes can play with an ankle sprain. It's just those high ankle sprains that you really fear in sports, but he's going to play this weekend. And now we can shift the focus to, can they get this win, and then can they beat Pittsburgh and put him on ice just because?
Yeah, and that's, I think, the best case scenario in general is that, you know, he's healthy enough where he feels like he can go out there and play on Saturday, not re-injure the ankle or make it any worse, be able to get the rest and recovery that he needs to then be able to play on Christmas Day with the goal that they clinch. I mean, they could clinch the number one seed in theory. They could clinch it this weekend if they win and Buffalo loses. I think that's probably unlikely. But they could wrap it up, you know, probably most likely by Christmas Day against the Steelers. And then at that point, yeah, you let him get all the rest he needs. You don't play him in the final regular season game against the Broncos. Then they get the bye, so he gets additional rest, and then should be ready to go for the divisional round. That's the ideal path that I think that everybody wanted to see happen. I'm not sure everybody thought it was realistic when you saw the opening news about his injury, but at this point, yeah, I think that's the direction they're going to go.
Which just looked, and it's the Gumby thing, right? It looked like that was going to be a significant injured, not just because he was limping, because of, if you watch the hit, it's like,
is it weird that, like, and I don't know if I was the only one that wasn't like overly, you know, like not concerned, but I wasn't like stunned by the injury and like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? Because we've watched him bounce. The guy had his kneecap on the side of his leg that he put back into place. Like, this has happened a lot. I mean, we've watched him limp off with ankle sprains in years past and then get it taped up, and then he's right back in. Like, it's the Gumby effect, like you said. But even in the moment when that happened, yeah, the hit didn't look great, but there was never a thought in my mind that I'm like, oh man, we're screwed. Like, it's going to fall apart for the I'd never thought that. So I wasn't overly surprised when he was a full participant yesterday.
I fear high ankle sprains. And so that was the
he
only
had that
thing
in the
for
playoffs
me is when
a
I heard,
year ago.
Right. It's one of his greatest skills. You know, of all the things you talk about with Mahomes, that's one of his greatest skills. Let's play this audio here real quick from Mahomes talking about the injury. You got Andy Reid talking about it, and then Carson Wentz. Chad has that cut up for us, and then we can react to it.
So I'll get to work in practice and try to push it to see where I can get to. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to put our team in a bad position. So if I feel like I can play and go out there and win a football game, I'll play. And if I don't feel like that's the best case scenario, I'll let guys like Carson play. I mean, he's a guy that's won in this league as well. So it's just about pushing it this week, seeing where I'm at, and making the best decision then.
Go through some stuff, and we'll see how it works out for him. And if he can't work, you know, then Carson will take those reps that Pat doesn't. So we have full confidence in Carson. If he has to step in and play, then I think everybody, coaches and players, have full confidence that he can go in and do a nice job.
I think they are too. Again, I've told you, I think they could beat the Texans with Carson Wentz. But if they don't need to, if Mahomes is fine, he's a full participant yesterday, Paul. Like, if he's able to practice all the way through practice, he's fine. Like, you're fine now. It's I don't want to say it's a nothing burger, because it's not a nothing burger, but it just isn't that. If he's practicing, why else would he need to practice unless he feels fine? You wouldn't need to practice him in full yesterday if he wasn't feeling fine. It just tells me that he's feeling fine.
Well, we don't know. I don't know about how much he actually practiced. I saw him doing some stretches on the field.
Full is what they listed him as, and you can get in big trouble now in the NFL if you're not forthcoming with that stuff.
Guys, read between the lines. Patrick Mahomes is not going to play. Carson Wentz is going to play on Sunday. Read between the lines.
No way. Not a chance.
I'm not so sure. And part
let's visit the place that always gets this stuff right. Las Vegas had the Chiefs as a 2.5-point underdog after the game on Sunday, when we were told it was high ankle sprain, all these things. After the practice report comes out, after the audio and Mahomes is listed as a full participant, the Chiefs go back to a 2.5 or a 3-point favorite. The line shifted 6 points. Mahomes is telling you. If Mahomes, Paul, tells you, unless I think I don't give my team a chance to win, basically, unless I think I'm hurting my team, I'm going to play. He's going to play.
Well,
he's got Hollywood Brown back, who was also, by the way, a full participant in practice yesterday for the first time. He's playing. I mean, I think he's doing everything he's allowed to do other than, you know, just announce it like, yep, I'm going to play on Sunday, and maybe they'll do that, or on Saturday, and maybe they'll do that later in the week. But there is absolutely no reason at all that you practice him if he's not playing. Why would you practice him? If he needs to get over the ankle injury, you don't put any, like, you don't put pressure on the ankle.
The surest thing that I can see from this whole thing is that when Coach Reed, Patrick Mahomes, both mentioned Carson Wentz, they mention him. They talk about it. That's something you wouldn't normally do. I mean, if this was, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is playing, you know, we don't have to worry about Wentz. We don't have to worry that he's going to be suited up because Mahomes is going to play. But both of them mentioned him. There's just something about the way they said Carson Wentz and the way that he got the attention from Patrick Mahomes and Coach Reed tells me something. I'm reading between the lines, Tommy. I'm reading between the lines. Now, it's a little narrow space between those lines.
Maybe so.
But I'm reading that. You just don't bring up Carson Wentz unless there's a good chance he's going to take your spot and you can't play.
I told you this, Jacob, on Monday when we were talking about this and reacting to it, that I believe that the only way that it's appropriate to start Carson Wentz if he has to.
Yeah, how's that?
Is if there is kind of a load management, you treat it like a preseason game or a meaningless.
Do it that way.
Like, I feel like you need to rest other starters. If you're going to start Carson Wentz, or at least the skill position players, so you don't risk injury to them as well. Like, I wouldn't play Isaiah Pacheco. I probably wouldn't play Xavier Worthy. I wouldn't play Travis Kelce. Well, like, those guys I probably would sit if you're not going to have Mahomes out there.
And I don't agree with that because, only for the reason that I think they could win with those guys and Carson Wentz. Now, I won't be stunned if we see, like, if things go well in the game, much like the Browns and the Chiefs are in a position to bring Wentz into the game at any point, that won't surprise me. But at this point, based on what we heard yesterday, and we'll see what happens today at practice, I will be shocked if Mahomes is not starting that game for the Chiefs. To me, like, everything they're saying points to he feels great and it's not as bad as we feared. And which shouldn't surprise any of us, because this does happen a lot with Mahomes. Like you said, unless his kneecap's hanging off of his leg, like, he generally can play through this stuff.
One thing I've got to say, though, to that, Jacob, how many times this season has the Chiefs played a game where you could take your starting quarterback out at some point in the second half and finish with it? It doesn't happen this year.
Right. I agree. The Browns might be the only one for a long time. I agree. We've said it a million times. They need to be running the ball anyway. And they did against the Browns, except for those critical spots early in the fourth quarter. They did certainly commit more to the run than they did. Carson Wentz is not incompetent. Carson Wentz is, I think it's very intentional, quite frankly, that he's there. He's one of the better backup quarterbacks in football, and the Chiefs know, and we've seen the Chiefs win games, critical games, with backup quarterbacks in the Mahomes era. They have a system in place where they are still good enough to get things done in a Wentz-driven offense. In this short passing game, you know, tight end, run the ball offense, that's an environment that Carson Wentz can be pretty good. And again, we heard Dan Israel say it yesterday, and he said it a lot. He has been amazed by how good Wentz has looked in preseason, training camp, practice, whatever it might be. I do think there's a lot of confidence there for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is I don't think we can let this injury situation with Patrick Mahomes and the question about if he's going to start or if Carson Wentz is going to play, I don't think you can let that overshadow the glaring issues that still remain. And the fact remains, and it hasn't changed, bottom line is that regardless if it's Mahomes or Wentz, like to your point a couple minutes ago, Jacob, they have to run the ball more. Like, we're a broken record. It's every single week. They've got to rely on that, especially if Patrick Mahomes starts with an ankle sprain and he's not fully 100% and his mobility is limited potentially in the game if he ends up playing. They have to lean on the run game. There's no choice, because the last thing that you want to do is put him out there if he feels healthy enough to play, and then he ends up aggravating an injury or it ends up worse than it was. you cannot risk that in this moment.
Yeah, it's a long season, isn't it, Tommy? Started in the first part of September.
They hope it goes another 2 months.
Yeah, and it's going to go a while longer is the hope. But, you know, September, October, November, we're halfway through December. That's a long time. That's a lot of football. That's a lot of hits. That's a lot of going to the ground. I'm just telling you guys.
A lot of games with a really bad offensive line or at least bad tackles.
Well, that's a good point.
And it's not going to get good. No. I mean, the offensive line isn't going to get good. Nope. It's not going to be something that is a strength of this team, at least in pass blocking. No matter what happens, no matter what personnel is out there, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, maybe we see him limited. But again, like, we'll see practice. If there's one thing you can do, you can test an ankle in practice. And yesterday, it by all of this, it seems like the ankle's fine and there's nothing there. And whether there's something there or not, they're not even hiding the fact that they would like Mahomes to play. There's not even gamesmanship happening, right? Like, they're just like, unless something bad happens, I'm going to play, basically. And yeah, they're going to say if he can't, Carson Wentz will be ready to go. Of course, they're going to say that. But they're not even, I don't even think they're trying to hide it. I think they're just all full steam ahead. And now they get this new weapon in Hollywood Brown, and we'll see what happens. But they get the Texans in a really big game on Saturday night. All right, we're going to take another break here. We're going to come back. We are wide open the rest of the way, which means the IHOP hotline is open for you. The official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in, try the decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP Sports Daily. On a Wednesday, Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday,
yeah.
By the way. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Big news in the NFL. Well, Kirk Cousins is benched.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Michael Penix Show. It's time. Everybody wants to know why Atlanta drafted Penix. Maybe it makes more sense now. Look, if Penix is good, you can give the Falcons a lot of credit, I think, for backing up Kirk Cousins. Now they've got a decision to make with Cousins, who's played really poorly lately. Feel bad, but I like Kirk Cousins.
Sure. I thought he was going to be better. I did. I thought he would
be better. He was up until about the last month. He was actually pretty good until the last month, and it's been really bad over that stretch of time. So now they're making a change, and they're right in the thick of things, and I don't blame them for that at all. And likely he'll be cut and paid a ton of money. And I don't know. I don't know what the future looks like for Kirk Cousins. I don't know why things aren't going well for Kirk Cousins right now. Mm-hmm. But again, like all of the criticism Atlanta took for drafting Penix. And now if you're a Falcons fan, you're sure glad they did it, mm-hmm. right? Like you're happy that they did it.
Yeah.
But that news was out there as well. Just, you know, crazy turn of events.
Real quick, two things on that before you move on to the next topic. One, Kirk Cousins will be fine. Thank you very much. 4 year, $180 million left on his contract. He'll be okay. He's going to be able to pay his bills. He's okay. The other thing is that Penny, I don't know how good this kid is. We haven't seen him enough to really know, but evidently he's performing well enough in the meeting rooms. He's performing well enough in practice. It'll be very interesting. But there was a reason they drafted Penix when they did. So yeah,
what's been a really good looking quarterback class. We'll find out. And of course, we haven't seen JJ McCarthy play yet either. All right, let's go to the IHOP hotline real quick before our break. Craig has a question on the line. Craig, welcome into Sports Daily.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Say I have a question about live sports being pushed over onto streaming channels. More specifically, how can I record them to watch them back if I'm not home? Let me clarify. I'm nearly 70 years old. I don't really understand a lot of technology.
Craig, do you have ESPN Plus, Craig?
I do have it through my Cox Cable sports package. Yes. And also
are you referencing the basketball games last night specifically?
No, well, not specifically, but the Chiefs have been on Prime a couple of times.
Okay, so you're talking about the Chiefs. I got you.
A year ago, they were
well. I can tell you that on ESPN Plus, those games live there for a long time, so you can go back and watch them. They're just there. You might have to search for them. I don't know what that process is for Amazon or Netflix. I don't know if they're going to let those live there or if they just exist as live broadcasts. That's a great question. I have not looked. I've never tried to go back and watch one on Amazon or Netflix, so I'm honestly not real sure, other than to just go to those services and search for the team's name and see if they pop up.
Okay. Well, that I'll certainly try that the Christmas
but
Day.
But I do know ESPN Plus archives the games, so they're there. Like, if you missed either the K-State or the Shocker game last night, if you went right now, you should be able to watch those. For these okay, other I'm new players in the market, I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet. I'll have to look at that. It's a good question. We appreciate the call, Craig. Thank you. I Paul, I don't, you know, as we get into this now, we're going to see. Look, we're going to see the Netflix experiment on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. I have forgotten already, and I hope I'm not quickly reminded of how much of a disaster that was for the Mike Tyson fight. You couldn't watch it. You couldn't get it. It was a hot mess.
Well, speaking of the Mike Tyson fight, because of Craig's call, that was what I decided to go back and check to see if Netflix archives those things, to see if it was available to go back and watch. It is. It's still there.
Okay. Well, there you go then. Yeah, that's probably, Craig, thank you, Jad. That's probably what will happen is they'll just let it live there. I don't know why they wouldn't. They've got all the storage space in the world, unless they were trying to drive people to only watch it live. But at a subscription site, that doesn't make any sense. The NFL could have restrictions on that, I suppose, and not wanting that, because I know they own the rights to a lot of archived video. The NFL, through NFL Films and the NFL Network, they have a lot more sway than a lot of places do. So whether or not that was negotiated into this, I'm not sure. But the only way to know will be to go. But you can go to Amazon now and just go try to find one of the Thursday Night Football games. That would be what you'd do. Because if you can't, in all likelihood, the NFL doesn't let them do that, which wouldn't surprise me at all. The NFL is very, very protective. But it's the streaming world. We're going to see a Netflix football game next week. This time, 1 week from today, we're going to have football on Netflix. How about that?
All right.
We're going to come back and tell you what's on the network tonight. Don't go away. We'll wrap up Sports Daily after.